champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here. Welcome, boys, to a special edition of the Gay Bros Fantasy Podcast, Election Edition. I'm here with my gay bro.
Week 9. Just another great week to be a league member.
How crazy is it that it's already week 9? Damn.
I don't know.
The fuck?
Soon enough, I'll be in that trophy.
Yeah. You wouldn't really know what it feels like, though. But I'll tell you what, guys. It's the best feeling in the whole world.
I'm a man for the future.
All right, let's
go through and recap the week. We'll start with Clint versus Max, which came down to a 5-point spread. Max didn't have the Jonathan Taylor he wanted to see, a little bit of an ankle injury. And
Kittle,
you know,
Hollywood
came in with 1 for 3 and a touchdown. Something, but it ain't what you want.
Kittle
goes down, but you know, somehow he found a way. He pulled it out.
Shep came through.
And I'm looking forward to breaking that one win streak next week.
Cade and Mike, this is maybe the trash zone game of the year. Cade put up.
Really, it's just a shame that it didn't have Ben in it.
A whopping 54.5 points.
That has to be an all time low.
Must be until maybe Ben this week, but.
And the combo of Mike's team too, them together for a total
brutal.
Of 130. I could have played them both.
140, but yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, there was Adam could have beaten both of them, and so could Jack. Jack lost his game to Adam and still could have beaten the combination of Mike and Cade's scores.
Jack was sending me texts of the day. He was devastated at the sub 100 scores that he didn't get a play against.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Mike finds his second win of the season.
It's big time.
And he hopes that's going to push him in the right direction towards that playoff push.
We doubt it. We doubt it at the Gay Bros podcast, but we'll see what happens.
You know, I find myself questioning these days the Julio trade.
What was it again?
Oh,
it was the Mike Davis one, wasn't it?
Yeah, where he got Todd Gurley and Devonta Freeman for Julio and Mike Davis.
Oh, that looks terrible in hindsight. That's some shit that fucking Brody would do, bro.
And Devonta then ended up on the waiver. I think Mike did end up picking him back up. But you're basically sending Julio and CMC's backup, who Jake can just take for free, basically, and he's only sending Todd Gurley.
Yeah, that's brutal. So, that's tough in hindsight.
Certainly not what you want
to
see.
That is tough to look at. But anyway, speaking of terrible scores, Gowdy beat me. Hate to say it, because seems like we're somewhat of rivals, and his team is trash as hell. But, you know, once again, I had two receivers. The injuries just keep piling on in a devastating way. My two receivers hurt. It's absolute bullshit. I don't know why the fantasy gods are fucking me in the ass when it's just bullshit, bro. But
there's not much to it. It's just people get hurt and kind of screws you for the week.
And not only that, but I have the most points scored against me. Like, what is this shit? But regardless of all of that, I'm still going to win the championship, so I'm not too stressed. But
yeah, that's
anyways.
We'll see.
Jake, squeak by.
Anyways, I want to go look at Gowdy's team real quick.
All right.
To see. When I checked a little bit ago, it looked like he was starting both Green Bay running backs. He does still have that. He's got Aaron Jones as well as Dexter Williams as his RB1 and RB2.
What?
And no available running back on his bench. So we shall see how that plays out.
That's devastating. Damn. All right. The last one of the week. I mean, we sort of talked about yours.
We got Jake and Eli.
Yeah.
Which ended up being a pretty good game.
That was a great matchup.
The, Jake got a big DK game, and that was ultimately a difference. Eli dropped his third straight, falling to 5-3, so certainly not what he wants to see, but I'm sure he's got confidence. He's trying to figure out that wide receiver, too.
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, it's crazy how many games it seems the Seahawks wide receivers have single-handedly won this year. Just from boom games, which is crazy. But speaking of Seahawks wide receivers winning games, Ben's trash-ass team somehow won again. Squeaked by Ross because the Eagles defense scored on some bullshit. He had a scoop and score touchdown. I guess he probably still would have won without the touchdown. But that was ridiculous. So lucky.
That touchdown skewed a whole bunch of Dallas bullshit that went the wrong way.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm confident they rule him down. Rock wins that game.
It led to me officially preying on Ben's downfall for the foreseeable future.
But Ben, we don't have to pray on Ben's downfall. It's currently happening in front of us.
It'll be taken care of just organically.
But he's finding a way. He's trying to make it work, trying to get in those playoffs. So,
That'd be a sad sight. That'd be a sad sight for the league. It'd be one of the worst days in recent league history.
And then obviously I put up the second highest score of the season, second to you. Of course, it's the Gay Bros, the other two highest.
That's what we do. That's what we do.
Not sure why it'd be any other way. Maher put up a good fight. I was real worried throughout the whole day. I expected Fulgham to come out with maybe 35 against the Cowboys. It was inevitable Devontae was going to get 30. So luckily I had the absolute GOAT that is Dalvin Cook. And
Dalvo went silly.
My baby, he's making up for year one when I drafted him, and he just decided to chill on the bench that season. So we're happy to see him back.
He's just going absolutely silly, and you really love to see it. As a fellow Dalvo enthusiast,
When I get the number one pick next year, I may be taking him.
So. I don't think anyone would blame him, but yeah. I mean, we're going to see. So should we look ahead to next week, or this week, I should say? We got Eli and Clint.
That's a good matchup.
That is a good matchup.
5-3 versus 5-3, projected.
Projected point differential, 0.8.
Doesn't have a wide receiver 2 win right there. It looks like he might be throwing in the only 49ers receiver healthy. We'll see how that works out.
Which is who? Oh, Trent Taylor. Oof.
Yeah, that's I guess he could put Gallup against Pitt, but
that's also gross.
I don't know. He's struggling to find that guy, but at least the rest of his roster is solid surrounding it.
And at least Mike Evans is trending up and didn't get, you know, a former best receiver in the game of football on his team recently. So that's a good sign as well.
I will make that prediction that Antonio Brown will finish wide receiver 1 on the season. All right, he's going against Clint. Clint with a nearly, not quite fully healthy. Still, he's got Sanders on a bye, Robert Woods on a bye, but either way, he's still got a solid lineup in there.
Clint's got a good squad. It's formidable, for sure. Let's look at Cade's trash-ass team against Jack, who has a shockingly good team. But
he does.
I just, when I look at Cade's team now, I think back to probably week 2 of the Gay Bros podcast where Cade was saying, who's the most underrated team? Who had the most steals in the draft? And you look at it now and it's really in shambles.
I talked to him yesterday and it's just the Cowboys alone have given him hell. He's losing the value of Cooper. He's lost Dak. Oof. And Cam's not giving him anything in return. And now Dak Moss coming out a little bit over Singletary. So that could just be trending downwards too. He's got the bright spot of Hopkins and a potential big game of Justin Jefferson. But
I mean, nobody's going to say that DeAndre Hopkins doesn't fear God because that much is evident. But I'm just wondering if anybody else on his roster does.
I know.
And that's the issue. Because Yeah, it's scary.
All of your dudes, they gotta be together. You can't have one man fearing God if the rest of the boys ain't gonna
Well,
follow.
he does have Justin Tucker. Justin Tucker clearly fears God. But other than
I
that,
do agree with that.
it's not necessarily looking great.
Yeah, I mean, Jack's got about as solid of a receiver core as you can have.
No doubt. That boy
And I
Travis
think,
Fulgham is low-key a star.
yeah, we're glad that Trackzone Ben gave up Fulgham so he could get the injured Crowder.
Great trade,
Just
Ben.
get business.
Really putting on for the trash out. Really
For
putting
sure.
on.
He provides his own content.
It's
So
so
do I.
easy. It's too easy to plan the trash zone section. In fact, we don't even plan it. We just say it's gonna come naturally.
Anyways, we've got a 28-point spread in that game, so we'll see how that finishes.
I'm hammering
Hammering
Jack.
plus
I'm
minus
hammering
one.
Jack, yeah.
And
All right.
then you want to go to yours, or you want to save it?
We can talk about mine. I mean, I'm playing the worst team in the league, so it shouldn't be too difficult. But when you look at my squad, I don't want to get
It's
into
just
it too much.
ugly
I
now.
already talked about it. It's just devastating to look at. However, hopefully we can pull it together. I mean, Jermichael Hasty,
I think Casey could have a good game.
he could come through. The Packers' run defense is disgustingly bad.
Yep.
And if Ridley doesn't play, which it's looking like he might not, it's going to be very, very scary hours for Dedumwe. But
Yeah, but I mean, Maher could very well end up without another running back, and I don't know who's up on the waiver, but it certainly can't be anyone worth starting at RB2.
couldn't possibly be anyone better than Matt Breida.
Needless
He's
to
so
say
good.
that means that his RB1 is Le'Veon Bell, which is just a disgusting thing itself.
Just trash. Just disgustingly bad.
So,
So it's safe to say that even if my whole team was on bye, I still wouldn't be worried just because of the competition, but it's really a must win for me. So we'll see what happens.
All right. And then we got Mike versus Ross Scott.
Right. It's just it's a game. It's kind of a Thursday Night Football Jags Texans game. Your Jags Titans even. You don't want to tune in, but you might, just if there's nothing else on.
I'm not seeing where Mike's gonna get the points. I guess McKinnon maybe.
That's highly doubt. Isn't
Didn't against Seattle.
McKinnon's not even playing, is he?
I think he is.
I'm pretty. I'm. Oh, actually, no. Is he not hurt? Am I tripping?
No, McKinnon's in.
All right.
Yeah, Diggs is gonna be the guy if he's gonna win this week. And likewise on Ross, he's gonna need Zeke to figure some shit out in that offense, as well as Ty Hill have another game.
You gotta have a boom Ty Hill game, otherwise it's scary for you.
Unless he just has Herbie go for 30. That works too.
Herbie is a straight up savage, bro.
He is. However, he should start throwing more to Mike Will and less to Keene, at least for this week.
You're starting Mike Willie?
No, I just don't want it to go to Keenan.
Oh, right.
On the note of Ross's comment on his tight end whisperer notion, you know, you applaud him. You pick up a guy every year who turns into a top tight end, you can't do much better.
You can't. I mean, unless you draft one in the late rounds who turns into an elite tight end,
That's another one.
like your own gay bro. But as a fellow tight end whisperer, I commend him. It takes a good eye. It takes a good eye. Last matchup is the Big Nose Ballers versus.
We got Jake and Gowdy. Or do we do Jake and Gowdy?
No, we didn't do Jake and Gowdy. Jake might get that boy CMC back. That's
Yeah.
huge. His team's looking kind of scary.
It is. I still don't know what Gowdy's plan is in this RB2 situation. If Aaron Jones plays, it's bad to start both of them. If Aaron Jones doesn't play, then you're not starting both of them,
Right.
and he doesn't have another guy.
Right.
I'm not sure what his backup plan is here.
I wish I knew. I really do. But
But I mean, Jake still got Johnny in that lineup over Fant. I'm not sure what Fant's been doing, but I know Johnny's been kind of
Jake put
dead.
Jonnu in his lineup over Fant because I was talking shit about Jonnu last night, and I think he was just trying to motivate. He was just trying to motivate Jonnu. But If there's one thing I know about this matchup and Gowdy's RB2 situation, it's that Gowdy is both a real-life and a fantasy football genius. So I know he'll be able to definitely figure something out.
Yeah, if I know anything. If he's starting one running
back. Yeah. I mean.
You got big nose ballers versus lunch pail to work type of guys.
I got a quick hot take. I don't know that Max's team is really full of lunch pail to work type of guys. I'm just gonna say it.
It's starting to seem like he's got a bunch of pussies.
I mean, you think it is, and then you see Michael Thomas, who is the exact opposite of a lunch pail to work type of guy. Marquise Brown, who tweeted, "What's the point of having soldiers if you never use them?" In parentheses, never. And that's not a lunch pail to work type of guy.
He's pissed.
Keenan Allen, if you guys remember, when the NFL 100 list went out, was a huge bitch about it and tagged like Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Tyreek Hill or whatever, and was like, "These dudes aren't better than me." That's the opposite of lunch pail to work type of guy.
A little bit of controversy there, but regardless, he's hoping a couple of key guys can pull through and play this week for him, or it could be tough.
I mean,
I'm hoping Chris Carson and MT both find the bench, but that's just personal opinion. I'm glad that Kittle's not playing tomorrow because he'd inevitably get 40 since they have nobody else faster.
He would have gone silly.
But I think it should be a good matchup. I'm feeling real good about my team, except for the fact that Ayuk isn't playing anymore. But once again, Antonio Brown will be wide receiver one. So,
I mean, yeah, your team's hot. Your team is hot.
See, it's staying healthy. That's the thing. I'm holding on right now.
Wish I knew what that felt like. I really do. Wish I knew.
But we knock on wood to save that.
All right, should we move on to the trash zone?
We can go to the trash. God. Full of
let's just look at this hardware. Disgusting team. Just disgusting.
he gets Deshaun back off his bye playing against the Jags, who I think him and Fuller could turn up, but the rest of his lineup is the trash zone.
I mean, when you're top two running backs are Lev Bell and Matt Breida. It's just, it's sad to see. It really is lowering the standard of the league in general. I think even Brody could have probably fielded a better starting running back situation. And
probably.
His superstar, Kenyon Drake, is out, who once again, superstar. I'd like to remind our listeners, was taken with a 10th overall pick.
For a 12-point average.
That's great, though. Like, that's what you're looking for from your star running back and first overall pick.
Especially when all your numbers in a season are boosted by one garbage time run.
That garbage time run was electric, though, for our boy Cade.
It was. It absolutely was. But, I mean, he's at 5-3. We will continue to call him the trash zone just because it's what it is, but at least he's finding a way to push through it and find wins. So
it's when you look at that roster and you look at the numbers 5-3, you would think they would be switched. And the fact that they're not is downright sickening, to be honest with you guys. As I said earlier, I'm praying on Ben's downfall. He knows it. And I wasn't before last week, but after that Eagles bullshit, it became clear that I had no, especially this week, I'm playing him. So, I'll send a message.
I know he had very little control, maybe no control over that Eagles touchdown. Maybe he had no control, but you know it just pissed me off.
I don't care if
put me the wrong way.
I don't care if he didn't even want it. I'm praying on his downfall no matter what.
Ben, we hope you don't want that. And if you don't, feel free to say we should take off all points that the Eagles defense got after that.
That would be the honorable thing to do, but. What? My guess is you don't really care about honor, even though it's really something very important in this league, but I guess that's just not what you're about. Now, I think the next thing we should move on to is what's really, when it comes down to it, an unbelievable opportunity for the league, and that is an opportunity to basically imagine going to the bank and saying, "Can I have free money?" And they just hand it to you. And that's what we have for you guys, basically. It's free money.
And the thing is they don't even have to ask. It's like you walk in there, and it's just put in your hand. It's, and then you walk out.
They do all the hard work for you, and you just get to reap the rewards.
I know. I don't know why anyone would revert from this.
I'm going to put a disclaimer on this before we get into this free money opportunity, which is that I do not, have not, and will not ever gamble during my career as an NCAA athlete. I wouldn't even think of it, to be honest. However, hypothetically, if I were to gamble, the Gay Bros have what is a downright unlosable parlay for you guys this weekend. And I'm going to let Adam walk you guys through it.
I wish I could say I was in the same steps that, you know, I don't place these bets, but sadly I did lose 150 last week, and it is what it is. But the key here is this $100 can't lose parlay.
Free money, baby. Free money.
So you place $100 down on the combination of Las Vegas plus one against the Chargers.
Too easy.
Kansas City minus 10.5 against the Buns, Carolina.
No doubt.
Seahawks minus 3 against Buffalo. You know how Buffalo's been playing. They're Buns. Seahawks aren't defending nobody, but they're certainly going to score more than Buffalo can.
No doubt.
And Thursday night football, Green Bay against the JV team of the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
So you put that $100 down, you go, you wait till Monday, and all of a sudden there's going to be $1,300 in your bank account.
$1,300, boys, with no risk whatsoever. It's unlosable.
Literally no risk.
So
I don't get why anyone would revert from this.
I don't know why they would. I mean, that's enough money to buy, you know, whatever. Gowdy, you could buy lots of tobacco products with that. It's free money. Jake, you could buy lots of Bibles to practice for Bible study, things of that nature.
Certainly. There's endless possibilities.
Really are. So you're welcome.
You can place it, and you can have your league entry fee paid for like the next however many years.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. It's free money.
It's so electric.
So take advantage.
And when it does hit, there is a Gay Bro tax of
10%.
Yes, 10%. But it's nothing personal. It's business.
No, total of 20%.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So, but I mean, just do the right thing and put your money in.
And just know that if you don't do it, that we will take it very personally and might not give you another free opportunity ever again. However, we're thinking this is going to be a weekly installment on the pod just because it's so electric.
Absolutely.
Okay. With that being said, I think what's next is these questions, huh, Adam?
Should be good.
Okay.
I don't know where they started at.
I'm just seeing Gowdy said, when do y'all come back? I don't know if that was a chat question or a pod question, but just to tell you guys right now.
For the information, I'm currently back. So if you want to pull up.
Adam's currently back. And if you want to hit up the basement, you should. I wish I could. I might not be back for a long, long time, boys. A long time.
What does
time.
That mean?
It means like there's a potential. There's potential for me not to be back until after Christmas.
Why?
Because
that's low.
It's devastating. Our last game is the 12th of December, and then the conference championship game is the 18th, and then the bowl games that we're eligible for are the 19th through the 31st, and it's like the 19th, 21st, 22nd, 20 maybe not 22nd, 21st, 23rd, 25th. So I could be playing on Christmas Day. Or the 31st. And if it's the 31st, I think I would be there until the game ended.
So it sounds like it's a win-win. Either you're back here or you're there and the boys are hammering every Rice money line there is.
Right. And the boys are making free money.
Yeah.
It's definitely a win-win, but at the same time, it could be a lose-lose, and we'll have to see. We really will have to see.
It definitely doesn't seem like the move, but we'll let it happen.
It's certainly devastating at the current moment, but it'll all be all right. Anyways, let's get to these questions.
I'm going to start up where Ross said the league question. Does it have to have a circle in the middle to be considered a bagel? And it was addressed by most of us, but absolutely it does.
It definitely has to. I don't. When I first saw that, I thought maybe he was just talking about like bread. But if he means like a bagel type structure, but the circle's a little closed off, it's more acceptable. However, to be a real bagel, you need a circle for sure.
Yeah, like I've seen bagels that have almost like no hole that you can see. Like it kind of looks like your asshole.
Yeah.
It's like just very small and very tight. But it is there.
Right.
And it does make it a bagel.
I mean, yeah, a hole's a hole. And the gay bros, the gay bros know that better than anyone. The gay bros know that better than anyone.
Absolutely. And Clint made a great point that if it doesn't have that hole, it's just a bun.
Exactly. Eloquent, Clint. Very eloquent. This business about cream cheese on top of the bagel, I'm not so sure about that.
It was truly a time in history where Max was trying to change the course of America.
Yeah, that's...
By doing an action like putting the cream cheese on the outside of a bagel, and you give him props because he's trying to make history. And it was an absolutely savage move to see an uncut bagel covered, surrounded in cream cheese.
You mean he put it all on at one time?
I don't remember exactly if it was covering the whole thing, but it was an uncut bagel with at least the top half covered in cream cheese.
I was imagining it like one knife spread at a time. Oh, that's
awful.
Cream
cheese on that thing.
That's awful. So, oh, my God.
That was way back in the days. But.
Damn. Who's the last person I'd want as president? I'm going to say Donald Trump is probably the last person in the whole world I'd want as president.
Probably go for the current one.
So.
And if I had to choose a non-Donald Trump, it would probably be...
Carrie Stell? I'm just going to throw that out there. No offense, Mike.
That's a potential option. I think that after, for some reason, the Jack Johnson post, it pushed me. If that, I can never, that man is too much. And that would be now my last person I'd ever want to be on this earth.
You can't really be mad at Jack. He was really just trying to make sure people voted. And he made sure to do it with about 6 minutes left to spare.
Yeah.
So that was really helpful.
Just in case people didn't realize the election was happening, they could go drive over to the election polls and place their vote.
In six minutes. So he definitely influenced...
It's that good Trump logic.
Yeah, he definitely influenced a lot of votes there.
He could single-handedly save Trump's election.
Really just unbelievably stupid in all facets. But anyways...
We got
what's the best brand and best brand and flavor of toothpaste? Crest Mint is really the only way to go, right?
I don't know. I go Colgate.
Oh, actually, you know what? I have Colgate too. Now that I say it, I have Colgate too.
I don't know if I got any special flavor on there. I'm pretty sure it's just some mint.
As long as it's mint, it's doable. If it's not mint, like someone said, Crest Kids watermelon. Like I don't want that bullshit. I'm brushing my teeth.
Chances are you're just rubbing it with sugar.
I'm not having a treat. You know what I mean? Like, it's the opposite. I'm not going to the fucking dentist to get my teeth filled in or whatever it is. Most likely to experiment with hard/psychedelic drugs. Nut?
Dowdy followed it with the comment that actually it's probably Brody.
Probably Brody.
That may be true.
There's lots of candidates, really, honestly. Nut could I could definitely see it. Maybe if he, like, loses huge and he just really needs to take his mind off it.
Yeah.
But he would probably take his mind off it by placing a $200 Band-Aid or something like that. So.
Absolutely.
I don't know, actually. Probably Eli or Jake, actually, if I had to say. Those are probably my two best guesses.
Now that it's all legal here, it's all decriminalized. So
we're just gonna do it all the time now that it's all decriminalized.
I mean, honestly, this break it could get crazy. So
it's gonna be a lot of heroin for the boys.
Absolutely.
Clint
says, "Would you rather be a Jew during World War II or a Demi in today's America?"
That's
and
not
the good
even...
thing here is we've got two identical sides to this. We have the Demi on one side, who can speak to how he feels in today's America.
Yes, sir.
And myself, who certainly did not experience World War II, but...
Ancestors.
Yeah, it's a tragedy. However, I don't think there will ever be anything in America that's as disgusting as how Demis are treated.
Nothing. I really appreciate you saying that, Adam, because a lot of people don't understand the issues we go through on a daily basis. But just imagine walking down the street and someone looks at you and you know they're thinking, like, look at that disgusting demisexual. And not even knowing, like, the pain you go through every day.
Seriously, some would think about this and say, huh, six million Jews burned. Or the man walking on the street who's self-conscious about his demisexuality.
It's tough when you first think about it. And then when you really start to think about it, it becomes clear. Because it's really... Here's one thing I've always said. Silence is violence. And one thing you see a lot about Demis is silence. I've been watching pretty much nonstop, switching back and forth between CNN and Fox News for the past few months, just to see if maybe once they would mention my people and the issues we go through.
Acknowledge.
I was a single issue voter this election. Who's going to talk about Demis? And none of them did. None of them did. So I wrote in myself because I feel like I'm the only one who can really acknowledge the issues that demisexuals go through in today's time. And I don't really want to get into them because if you're not one, you wouldn't really understand. It's just a sad thing.
It's one of those things that you don't know unless you are. And if you can't experience that, you just need to recognize that there's truly no more of a tragedy than trying to be a demi in America.
Nothing whatsoever. So. And I don't like it when people are like, oh, the Holocaust was worse. Like, come on. Be real. Just be real for one second. Like, it's ridiculous.
And then he followed up with the less violent question of who the worst pumpkin carver in the league would be. And
I'm going to nominate.
I personally carve some pretty shitty pumpkins myself.
Yeah, but you've definitely had a lot of practice with, like, Abby over the years. I guarantee you guys have carved lots of pumpkins together. and so is probably... Are there any other... So is probably Ryan. I'm gonna guess Brody loves carving pumpkins. It seems like a huge Corrigan family tradition. Jake and the Schutzlers on fight night. Yeah. Maybe carving up some pumpkins.
They definitely have a big pumpkin
carving
night.
Could see it.
But the worst pumpkin carver.
I might nominate myself, to be honest. I'm pretty terrible at all things of that nature.
Yeah, I could see you carving some really god awful pumpkins.
Just terrible. I mean, I'm a horrible artist. I'm terrible with tools. It's really just a match made in hell.
The key to the pumpkin carving is that so many people want to do their little designs and their faces, but all you need is one little hole.
Mm-hmm.
And then the inside filling, and you got yourself a product.
I'll tell you what you got there. You got something that Ben and Jack would fight to the death over at a Christmas gift exchange for in front of all their bros.
It's a portable gay bro.
Oh, it's really ideal. That's a great idea. I never thought about that.
I'd love to follow up with them on how the usage of that device is gone for them.
I mean, you have to imagine one of them takes that and the other one takes Alex for the night. But I don't know. I just don't know how often they alternate. And I'm wondering if it's ever been cleaned. I'm talking about the puss and not Alex. But you got to imagine the answer is no. It was just astounding to see them fight over it so hard and so publicly, too.
You got to think that they just end up kind of sharing it.
Like at the same time?
Maybe try to use it at the same time.
Like they sort of DP it?
Yeah, I don't. There's a lot of interpretation you can get, so
it doesn't.
We'll just let them do their maher business in peace. Keep enjoying themselves.
As long as they're happy. Now Ryan,
Gowdy's weird section of questions.
Ryan wants to know who would be easier to penetrate, pirates or ninjas? And it's really just a weird question. I don't know why you are so interested, but I'm gonna guess that the answer is pirates. for yeah, sure.
It's got to be Pirates.
I mean, what do they have to do out on the ships by themselves other than butt fuck?
Ninjas don't be doing nothing. If they got a hole that's easy to penetrate, it's because they've been doing it to themselves. Like, Pirates is like, it's the Game of Thrones time. Those people are fucking.
Pirates are just low-key sus, dude. Like, they're wearing all those weird clothes, and they're, like, conquering. Pirates are just kind of sus anyways. I could definitely see them having some pretty loose BHs, to be honest.
Definitely. But then I asked him if that was what he meant, and then he said easiest to penetrate in the league.
And I'm a little confused on that. It's the answer. See, at first, your first thought is one of the gay bros, but
see, I don't,
we're both tops.
I don't want to reveal who's easier, though, is the thing.
Right. You're right.
So
that's between two gay bros.
Absolutely. So I guess if we were to go for a third-party option, Ben? I'm not confident in knowing the different things him and Jill experimented with, as well as potentially 19 years in the same house with Alex. I'm just, I find it hard to believe that nothing's been tried.
No. Oh my God. Oh, yeah, I'm probably gonna have to cast my vote for Ben as well. Unfortunately, I apologize, Ben. It's the same logic as Adam came with, though. It's really the Jill thing. It's hard for me to imagine that she didn't, dominate that sector of the relationship. But
we'll allow you to live that out in peace and not have too much for it. And then he asked, college football or MLB? Odd comparison.
It's a very weird comparison.
But, I mean, if it's baseball in general versus college football in general, I'll take college football. If it's Cubs baseball, I'm going to take Cubs baseball. And if it's playoff baseball, then I will take playoff
baseball.
I was about
to say that. I'm not a huge college football guy in general, but I'll take it in general over MLB, but I'll take playoff baseball over college football for sure.
Playoff baseball is electric.
Playoff baseball is – that's exactly what I was going to say. It's simply electric. NBA or NFL, I strongly prefer the NFL. I love the NFL more than almost anything in the whole world. Sunday is just my favorite day ever. Like,
it's true.
Every day of the week is kind of just like one day closer to Sunday. And I wouldn't say I'm as much of an NBA fan as I am like a Blazer fan, but other than the Blazers, I like it, but I wouldn't just watch the Lakers play on a random night, whereas I'd be glued to my TV watching, the Jets and the fucking Broncos.
It was prior to the league creation, my answer would 100% be NBA, but this league has inspired a passion for the
NFL. No doubt. That
it almost makes me want to have aspirations to go try and play college football right now, so I can make it to that top level in the NFL.
I mean,
kind of where my girlfriend.
What's his fucking name? Schmitz. What's the Schmitz dude's name? Who played soccer and he was a kicker on the team? Davis. Davis Schmitz is apparently walking on at Portland State to try to play receiver, or he's attempting to walk on to play receiver. So my thinking is if Davis Schmitz can do it, anybody can.
That's what I might have to keep pursuing.
Anyways.
Yeah, there's simply no better day than Sunday. It's as simple as it's, that. And that could be even Sunday sitting in a room with just one TV with Red Zone and nobody else around you.
No doubt.
And then you can take that baseline and you can raise it to Knutson House with the boys and
Oh my fucking God, bro. Don't even say that. That was just... We didn't fully appreciate those times we were in.
That's very true.
Those were just the days. That was the best. Anyways, Ryan says Charlie or Addison... And I'm legally obligated to say Addison. However, if maybe I was under 18 or if I was some sort of sicko who comments on girls who are under 18, which I'm not, but hypothetically, if I were to be, I would probably say Charlie over Addison because I don't think that Addison Rae is attractive at all. She's okay, but like
she's kind of gross, to be honest. She's thick. She's thick, but like she kind of looks like she's fake, like she's like plastic surgery fake. I don't know. And Charlie's basically my wifey, hypothetically, if I was underage, but she wants me. Anyways,
I've been keeping up on my my TikTokers recently, so I'm not.
I just remember that one time in the basement.
What's that?
I just remember that one time in the basement when Adam was simping over one over this one dance.
Charlie video?
Yes.
Dude. All right, you give me that Charlie video, then there's your answer.
All right. Now the final question is a long one that we actually both worked kind of hard on, so we hope you appreciate it. It was the, like, what class would the boys teach? Should we go, like, one by one, what each of us said about? You want to do that? All right. So let's start with the top of my list is Ross. Good with that?
Yeah.
I was actually kind of – Ross was kind of the hardest one for me to think of, but I decided to settle on something that I know he really cares a lot about and is really important to him, which is he would teach the importance of being in a relationship and putting your woman first. We know that's something he's really passionate about, putting your woman before the boys. You know, making sure you don't turn your snap maps off when you go to hang out with her so other girls won't see that you're with her. Not doing things of that nature, really, is what he would teach.
I grouped you and Ross together for this one to teach the process and the art of the par club.
Oh, that's electric.
There's very few people in this league that could teach a class on how to join that they prestigious really club.
I'll tell you what I should teach is hole nine at fucking Stone Creek. Because I'm an expert.
That exact hole at the league university so you can play it every day.
Man, that'd be fire, bro. I would conquer that hole. Anyways, just like I've conquered many other holes in my life. But next on my list is Max, and I drew from a recent memory, something that was potentially devastating, and that's how to avoid getting canceled. He's turned into an expert, and you see lots of people just be absolutely devastated, and it's something that could genuinely be a need at a college level course.
It's a real necessary life skill. If you want to say things that are a little edgy and can get to people.
And who doesn't? And who doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, what'd you say for Max?
I grouped you with him on how to draft the healthiest team.
Man. No, I don't like this grouping now, bro. It's tough.
That's the ones I grouped. But yeah, you guys truly didn't draft healthy teams.
It's brutal, but look at us. I mean, Max is 5-3. I'm obviously going to end up winning the championship. We're still persevering. We're persevering.
You're
Cade, I said, this is very predictable. I said the art of managing a gambling addiction through basically just endless band-aids and basically planning to ghost your bookie if it doesn't work out, which is always a great plan. I don't think anything like that has ever gone wrong in the past. So
I followed in the same footsteps, and it's almost like yours can be the main lecture, and then mine's the smaller section of the art of the desperation teaser. To the point where when you're down just such a substantial amount on the book that you need to place that one $200 teaser that you either hit it and you're good, or you miss it, you got to ghost the book.
Oh, shit.
He's mastered it.
He has, man. And you never know when Kenny Drake's going to come through like that. Ryan, I said, he's going to teach how to become a political expert simply through Instagram meme pages and nothing more. He's definitely mastered that skill. Daquan and Hood Ratchet TV have really come in clutch for him in terms of his political knowledge.
Yeah. I had him, he could teach, one I just thought of was he could teach hot takes off first assumption. First observation.
Oh, shit.
And along with that, you can have a follow-up on Nicotine 101.
Mm.
So, he's got classes you can teach.
No doubt.
With skills.
Eli is going to teach why the Bills are the best team in the NFL, regardless of record or performance. They just are. They're the best team in the NFL, no matter what.
Yeah. regardless of any factor. And I had thought the same thing, and I ended up going with he could teach the Catan grind because you know he's there every night. He's one of the guys. He can get it. He can grind. He can get his wins, and it's a great class for him to teach.
No doubt, Jake is going to teach how to become the greatest guy to ever walk this earth.
He's a great guy.
I debated Bible study, but it seemed too obvious, and he's really just a great guy.
Yes. I gave him as the designated leader to teach and pass on to the next generation the gentleman's game.
Ah, nice.
We need the commissioner to pass this on so the game lives on forever.
I mean, all respect to Colby, does a good job, but when you compare Jake being the commissioner to Colby, it's a significant difference. And Colby does a good job. But next up is on my list is Clint. And this is a bit of a trigger warning again, Clint. I don't really – you might want to mute this. I know this is a touchy subject for you, but it's how to get over heartbreak because you experienced one so significant.
Yeah.
And yet here you are now still standing. And a lot of us didn't think you would be. I was a bit concerned that you might not still be with us after what happened.
I doubted it. I did.
After what happened. But – here you are, persevering, and we're so happy to see it.
Yep. I said Clint would teach how to properly use the caps lock button, which is at all times.
Oh, shit.
It's a necessary feature to get your point across and to get the attention of those who need to see what you're saying, and he's mastered it.
No doubt. Okay, so Mike next. Mike, I said... he's going to teach how to seduce women by finding out what the worst thing is that's ever happened to them. And that's a pretty good strategy. It seemed to work for Mike, so he can pass on to the next generation of young men.
Yeah, I was going to go a similar route along the lines of something with sex ed, but maybe the opposite of what they teach in sex ed, as well as he can teach the art of the blunt. He's mastered it. He's put his time, his heart, and his soul into it, and he rolls a good one. It's simple as that.
It's the art of the rotow.
Sure.
I'll do Adam next. I think you already did mine, but which is how to marry your high school sweetheart. And we're all excited for that wedding. Anyways.
It's going to be a banger.
It really is. Ben is... I put how to become 5-3 with the worst fantasy team ever known to man. It's a bad team. It's disgusting. It's gonna be 5-4 after this weekend.
We hope so. I gave Ben he can teach his fellow students about how to get rich off of a fake uncle or how to get rich off of a non family member.
It's an art form.
Seems like their family has really mastered this craft. They've gotten. They've gotten all the essentials out of it, such as a fat house on the river. But at the same time, it's savage. I wish I had it.
It's a great move. And there's going to be a lot of lucky boys who take that class and get rich as a result. Not from their own hard work, of course, but...
Just from an uncle that they meet somewhere.
Right. For Jack, he's going to teach how to be the best sibling in a family. And he earned that role for sure. Yeah.
I mean, it's not hard to beat out Ben and Alex. They're just bad people. I gave Jack how to remove a league member. He certainly seemed to keep the strategy to kind of just slide in there, get into the trip,
yep.
draft the team. All of a sudden, oh, it's my team.
Yep.
Oh, Brody doesn't want it anymore.
Mm. Very sly. Very sly. He's doing a good job, though. Can't say anything less. All right, boys. I think that'll wrap up this edition of the Gay Bros Podcast. I think we had a lot of fun. We hope you had fun listening.
It's going to be another great week, and hopefully everyone can come out with a win, although that's just not possible.
Yeah, we wish you all the best. We say you're welcome in advance for all the money you're going to win this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, if we do the math on this, assuming everyone in the league plays,
and they should, they will.
We're risking $1,200 to win almost 16,000.
Wow. That's big time, boys. Wow. I'm proud of us. I'm proud of us.
I don't know. I don't know why we wouldn't.
There's no risk.
In the funding for the league university, and we're going to need them to keep placing these parlays.
This would be a great start.
Absolutely would.
All right, boys. We'll talk to you guys next time.